When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So just, you know, just get ready. Kyle Monongat, Rutgers. A big fan of how he runs.
I didn't put him on mine! Damn it!
Yeah, come on! Dad. Come on!
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself!
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax.
If you say
give me as well
3 times a day, God will light it up.
He's just an absolute hack. I mean, he gets his ass kicked by the teammates every week. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson. This is the first take. Absolutely, definitely the first take. Two former football players from the University of Rhode Island. And on today's show, we're going to be sharing our top five running backs at the FBS level going into the 2024 college football season. Before we get to that, though, Sean, you had a pretty eventful weekend. How you doing?
Yeah. What do they call it? The Sunshine State in Florida. It's nice.
Is it?
Here's something that adults don't tell you. You know how you get some of these pieces of life advice when you're in college, Joe? Sometimes in high school, they tell you about, oh, stay in college. You know, the real world's no fun, all this and that. They don't tell you that as you get older, you like sunscreen just becomes mandatory. There's no, hey, I can get away with a day not putting it on in the Florida sun without destroying my body. That's never told to me. I can't believe how thick I have to layer the sunscreen, not just to prevent myself from getting tan, but to prevent myself from getting seriously burned. And then later you just don't get tan. And also let's couple that with, I guess, allergies get worse when you get older. That's something I've now learned, because I'm wondering what's going on with my nose. It's a little stuffy around this time of the year. I'm walking around Chipper Jones, walking around happy, you go lucky. And now I got a weird voice. My nose is stuffy. There's pollen flying everywhere. Never dealt with it. Now I'm catching pollen and I can't catch a tan.
Are you sure some of these things aren't just because you don't take very good care
Let's
of yourself?
Let's not bring up diet really. Alcoholism for the weekend. Look, these are new things to me. I know you've always gotten burned. I know you've always struggled to get tan. And I know you've always dealt with bad allergies. But now I'm starting to come back down to your level from superhero to allergy.
Yeah, because I never took care of myself, and now I do, and then it's the other way around. So that's why I made that.
You're the most sickly person I know. Stop it.
That's not true.
You think you're okay. Gotcha. Whatever. Let's get to betting, right? Can we talk about betting for a moment?
I hit an Alex Pereira bet. I made $20 on BetOnline.
Congratulations. That's a good bet to hit. I was hitting some good Masters bets, some good golf bets. It was good. Jason Day, thanks for making the cut. And Augusta, thanks for letting the cut line get up to +5. Great work, dummies, running my pockets up. That's awesome. BetOnline is the number one source for all your summer sports. MLB, golf, NBA, NHL playoffs are coming around. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I thought their tagline changed. Am I crazy?
Joe, come on. It's now we're back to where the game starts. Let's see here.
Right.
On 9th, where the game starts. On the 2nd, it was the
game. Okay, we're not here. Okay, it's probably Cam's fault. All right, Sean, let's get into talking about our top five running backs from college football heading into the 2024 season. As we did on the quarterback show, make sure you go and check that out. And if you don't want to miss any of our others, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you hit the like button. Drop a comment on which guys you want to see or maybe that we end up missing on this list. We're going to go in reverse order here. We're going to alternate like we did on the quarterback show. I'm going to start off with my number five guy, who was one of the leading runners last year, that being Taj Brooks from Texas Tech, the 5'10", 220-pound back. Last year, he rushed for 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns. Didn't really do much as a receiver, and that's kind of part of the reason why I kind of stuck him at five. But I think that Texas Tech has just been so up and down in their success. They've been really, really inconsistent. So to see them have some steadiness at the running back position makes me feel good about what they could do next year. They've been a program that we've talked about. They've got all this money. They've got potentially all this NIL support because they've got rich oil money backing the program. But can they actually win games? Can they succeed now that Texas and Oklahoma aren't there? And I think that if they have a big year offensively next year, it is going to be on the back of Taj Brooks, who is so freaking fun to watch. I mean, he's 220 pounds and he runs like it. He is downhill, in your face, run through an MF's chin strap when he comes and makes contact. Taj Brooks, Texas Tech, number five.
Texas Tech is going to do their hard, is going to work their hardest to make sure, the spirit of college football doesn't die. And that's by having, I mean, beef eating running backs loading up that backfield and making everybody pay on the defense. Taj Brooks, I had him at four. Very excited about this selection. Hard runner. I like what he does in between the tackles. Their scheme works, but he's an effort guy in the backfield. He belongs in the top five. I like his movement. He is decisive with his cuts. He can be patient when he wants to. I think he's a really quality running back. I'm glad you were able to incorporate him on your list, even though I know you're partial to dual threat running backs. I will give my number five guy right now. Before that, since I do not like to be restricted by the lists, let me give a watch out for, and then my honorable mention, watch out for Penny Boone at Louisville. Transferred up from Toledo, led the MAC in rushing last year, has a top of the FBS frame. Stop making faces. This is going to be quick. Honorable mention, Penn State boys, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. I'm still holding out a faith.
Yeah, you can't pick one. You can't pick one.
I'm still holding out faith that, that one of them really booms this season. But my number five, Joe, hold on to your seat, please. Just
don't say some dumb. Don't say some.
It's not going to be dumb, but your reaction is going to be what it shouldn't be. So just get ready. Kyle Monongat, Rutgers. A big fan of how he runs.
I didn't put him on mine. Damn it.
Yeah. Come on.
Kyle Monongat.
I'm juiced up.
Rutgers.
Oh, I knocked my camera out of focus.
It seems that Rutgers is starting to build a system of a specific type of running back, and Monongai runs a lot like Pacheco at times. It's a bit cartoony, but it's like this is a weird. It's Gear 5 cartoony, where it's really effective. Where you're looking at his arm, he does this great balance regather and momentum change with his arm, like he's like almost like a fighter would, and he's getting up and he's creating different lanes that a lot of defenders aren't used to. It's not here's the angle, here's the straight line, I can track him down here. It's oh he's creating new lines on the grass. He is not running within the traffic patterns, and that's so fun. He was explosive. How much noise Rutgers is going to make next year, I'm not really bothered about it. I don't think it's going to be a tremendous amount. But this is a guy you should keep your eye on. I think he's going to rush for a ton of yards next year. I think he was the ACC lead runner rusher this past year. I don't know. He had a great year. Surpassed 1,200 yards. Keep your eye on him. Fun running back. Gets a lot of touchdowns too.
As you can tell by my aggressive reaction, I love the Kyle Manungai pick. I'm wearing my Rutgers shirt. I am not a Rutgers fan, but I am a Rutgers supporter because I am from the state of New Jersey. Kyle Manungai did, I think, the most out of any of these running backs while having the least to support him. Quarterback position was inconsistent. Their offensive line was okay, not really putting out any NFL guys on their offensive line. So for them to be able to produce a back that rushed for 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns and 5.2 yards per carry, I think says a lot about Manungai. He's only 5'9", 210, but he runs like he's 6'2", 220. He runs hard. He's got a little bit of that extra juice to, like, when you break away and you break that first tackle, he peels away. He is not a sexy name, and he doesn't play for a program that's exactly going to generate a lot of clicks for us bringing up Kyle Manungai. But he is so goddamn fun to watch. And he's the reason why last year, my whole bit was hinged on Kyle Manungai and watching that guy play. He is what made me excited, why I bought the Rutgers gear that I bought, and why I was suddenly proud to be from the state of New Jersey. And when we're back in the state of New Jersey, we're going to watch Kyle Manungai.
Maybe you go check it out. I don't know if I can go dive into that scene. You know what? You can buy me a ticket.
I'm going to DM him right now.
Here's the thing. I think, I saw this a little bit at Rhode Island, and I truly believe that all it takes is one dude out of your position group at your school to make it a little bit, and that whole position group gets elevated. We saw Pacheco, running back, Rutgers. Manungai now, running back, Rutgers. Who's sitting here thinking Pacheco, Super Bowl champ, crucial for that team? And at Rhode Island, it's this. We saw one lineman transfer go to the NFL, and then another offensive lineman did that. And then that stretch continued for 4 straight classes, maybe 5 straight classes. And all it takes is one. That was the only position group where it was going consistently year after year. Scouts are coming here to check out this one offensive lineman. So if you're bringing in recruiting classes and there's buzz that scouts come because of the guy in your position group at that school, creates a huge amount of momentum just mentally for the players. So I do think that we have to credit Pacheco in this.
My number 4 guy, and you said that you had Taj Brooks from Texas Tech as your number 4. My number 4, on the other hand, is Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State. Now, I might be going just a little bit too low on him. I think it's just partially a little bit of a bias because it's not like he's playing for a Power 5 team.
Yeah.
But first of all, there was a lot of speculation that this guy was going to enter the portal. There was a lot of possibility that he was going to move on and go play for a big team. And I feel like there was a lot of Jahmyr Gibbs type potential if he hopped in the portal and he transferred. Not too far off in terms of his physical profile. He's one of those dudes who touches the ball and could take it for 6. Last year, he had 1,300 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns, 6.1 yards per carry. He also ended up having 43 receptions for 569 yards and 5 touchdowns. Ashton Jeanty was the reason why they found success down the stretch. They were not going to be anywhere near the Mountain West Championship game if it wasn't for Jeanty. And I think that if Boise State has a presence as one of the best G5 teams, it's going to be because of him. He's a spark plug. He's going to be one of the top running backs drafted next year. Make sure you keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I was watching some of him today. I mean, dangerous in space is an understatement. I think Jeanty's burst right before contact is huge, with whether it's him getting tackled and falling forward or setting up his next move. I don't have him on mine, and I just bumped him from Manungai. That's what I did. He was right on that bubble for me, and it's a good group of running backs. I'm watching a lot of them, and then you're like, wow, they're starting to blend together a little bit. There's some similarities between a lot of these guys when they're running. It's like, how do you pick one over the other? Jeanty has a lot of that good movement open field. And I think that each time he's going up with a defender, a safety or a corner, he's treating it like it's just a one-on-one, one-on-one juke out. And if that's happening, he's going to win it. And then typically tackled when the second defender comes in. So I'm a fan of that pick, Joe, just on the bubble for me.
Okay. So you already gave your number 4. I will lead into my number 3 then. My number 3 on my list was Devin Neal from Kansas. Now, I was really surprised that Neil decided to go back to school. I think that he would have been in the conversation as a top 100 pick, top 150 pick in the 2024 NFL draft, one of the top running backs. He's one of those guys that just runs super fluidly, and he is perfect for the offense that Kansas runs. I think he pairs really nicely with Jalen Daniels, assuming he comes back and is fully healthy. 5'11", 210 pounds, another dude who touches the rock, and he plays in an offense where there's a lot of open rushing lanes, and if he gets those rushing lanes, he could take it for six. Last year, he rushed for 1,200 yards, 16 touchdowns, and then he had 25 receptions for 217 yards and a score. I think he's an even better receiver than he got the opportunities to make plays as a receiver. So maybe we see a little bit more of an intention to get him the ball, get him the ball in space. He's just somebody you scheme touches for. And if Kansas lives up to the hype that we've talked about, where they can win the Big 12, it's going to be because Devin Neal explodes and has one of the best seasons out of any of these running backs.
I think if you scheme touches for him, he's a very, very good running back. I don't think he's not on my top five. I could have had,
we're really off this week.
I could have had him on my top five. I really like how he plays. He's good at everything. I don't know if he's great at anything. He's a really good runner. When he gets the ball out in space, receiving, he's good. He's good. He's good in between the tackles, good outside, good stiff arm, good juke, good spin, whatever. Which is good. That's a good thing. He's just not, I just didn't see anything that made me think, wow, that's a great running back. That's a top five running back going into this next season. My number three, Jaden Ott from Cal. Really liked how he played last year. His running style, it's Arian Foster in the backfield. He's not in a rush as a running back, which, how is that possible? The offense has all advantage as long as they're moving the ball forward. That's just part of football. But he knows or his instincts click in where it's, I know I can get farther up the field if I just play a little bit of chess for this quarter of a second. And he's really good at it. I was just so smooth. Never looks like, I mean, the opposite of Kyle Monongai. There's no excessive movement. There's no flash when he's actually running. It's just posture. Look at me. I'm running and I made the good call. He's just so casual. Down within the 10 also. It's just like, wow. It's only the guys that have true running back instinct that can be that casual down there. Like Mike Davis, not casual at the goal line. Hey, I can squat 700 pounds. I'm just going to run straight and we're going to see if we get in this time. Way different than Ott. Hey, I can't necessarily squat 700 pounds, but I can read the movement here and I know I'm going to get in if I take this lane and this one block may happen. And he's opportunistic. I really like him as a running back.
I like that you threw Ott in here. He would have been my number six. I was really battling with myself if I went Ott or Taj Brooks at number five. That was where I had the debate on where I want to place him. I think that his impact was really tangible because Cal sucked. Like
they were not a good team.
But they hung around in some games that they weren't supposed to because he was far and away their best player. He is a playmaker. He's a really good, really, really good running back. I haven't really gotten enough eyes on him to like really evaluate him as a player, as a prospect. And I wish I have had that chance. I'm flipping to 2025 prospects soon. But I think that just from that perspective of the amount of yards he put up, he is going to be in that top five conversation. He's going to be right there, either on the fringe or it's crazy how many good running backs.
That's the thing.
It is really hard to find ways to fit these guys in.
This Ott Brooks Neal group is like, okay, different day. I'm feeling maybe a different three. They're really tightly packed together here in just talent and evaluating.
Now I would be willing to bet that you have this guy at one or two, and that being Quinshon Judkins is my number two running back. 5'11", 210 pounds. Last year, he missed a little bit of time, but he still rushed for 1,100 yards, 15 touchdowns, and a 4.3 yards per carry average. Now, I think that Judkins came back down to earth just a little bit from the really stellar true freshman season that he had. But I look at the fact that he is throwing himself into Ohio State's run game, where he has Travion Henderson to play off of, a really creative offensive coordinator. the ceiling is so high for Quinshon Judkins. He might not be the most physically gifted out of the guys that we're talking about here today. He's not going to run. I don't think he's a 4-3 guy. You know, I don't think he's going to have the best three cone out of these guys. But what has made him so steady and consistent and why he was so good as a freshman was the vision, was the ability to find those rushing lanes early on and the instincts that it's hard to find for a young running back. And there's a reason why he was so highly sought after, is that he is just so natural at knowing where the ball needs to go next. The LSU game, like, I point back to that moment where he ran so goddamn hard, the first down graphic followed him. Like, he runs hard. He just checks all the boxes that you look for in a premier player. And I don't know if it feels weird saying this. He might not finish top 10 in rushing next year because of the fact that he's sharing touches with Travion Henderson. Yeah. But we'll still be saying at the end of the season, Quinshon Judkins was one of the best running backs.
The whole sophomore year slump with Judkins was confusing me all offseason. And I might have been able to put it together a little bit today. When I was watching his freshman year stuff compared to his sophomore year stuff, freshman year, man, you look at him like, wow, he keeps on breaking away. He keeps on breaking away. Why isn't he breaking away? Like, these are good runs sophomore year. A lot of these runs that are posted, what all the runs that are shown, whatever, put in the videos, you know, it's a 12-yard scramble. He's falling forward. He's getting big third down conversion. Great. But there's something that was missing out of this game. It was so confusing to me. Joe, it's his stiff arm. His freshman year, he was using his stiff arm a ton. And he was breaking off of tackles, getting another 15, 20 yards. Sophomore year, it was like somebody said, hey, stop using the stiff arm as much. Just don't use it. And when he's taking on tacklers, he's not thinking about jutting an arm out for a little bit more, breaking one of those electric Quinshon Judkins runs. It's, I'm just gonna run straight, fall forward. I don't know what that was. It's when you look at it, you're going to sit there and you're going to wonder what kind of coach is trying to take what I think was Judkins' maybe second best tool in his toolbox with that stiff arm, coupled with the natural instinct of where to run, where to move the ball forward. Why would you take that out? Why is he not doing it as much? Why change this? And it changed. And I'm just looking at the runs like, you could have popped one. It's not just Monday morning quarterback coaching. Oh, you should have popped one there. Maybe next week. No, it's pop it. You're withholding the stiff arm enough where why isn't this getting addressed? I don't know what happened in that room at Ole Miss to get him to stop using it. I couldn't believe it. And some, you know, you could quote me and say he used it here. It's way different. Way different. But yeah,
where did you have him at number 2?
Number 1. I think Ohio State is not going to play around and they're going to say, "Hey, we're bringing it back. You're gonna start popping that arm back out there and separating and you, when he hits some of these SEC defenders, I mean, he brutalized Vanderbilt pretty. I know they're Vanderbilt in the bottom of the barrel, but it was like you couldn't even get a hand on his chest or his torso. Judkins at 1 for me. I see a resurgence, and I'm really hoping he's truly electric for Ohio State.
So that means you and I were reverse here on our 1 and 2, and then I would presume that you had last year's leading rusher, Ollie Gordon, at number 2, who was my number 1. Ollie Gordon, I think, and we talked about when we mentioned best players at particular positions coming into next season. He has to be just my favorite player to watch in the sense that he is the most entertaining guy to watch. Nothing succeeded easily in front of him. There was so much resistance and difficulty. I would love to know. Someone put out today, I think it was Arjun Menon, put out today a graphic for the top running back prospects for yards per carry compared with percentage of stacked boxes that they faced. This was just for draft prospects. But I'd be willing to bet that Ollie Gordon's probably up in that top right corner of faced a lot of stacked boxes and still found an ability to rush a 6.1 yard per carry average. 1,700 yards, 21 touchdowns last year, 330 yards receiving, and a score as a receiver. He is like watching putty run. He is just fluid. He's bendy. He bends in and out of his cuts. Do not make a Seinfeld reference. He bends in and out of his cuts so freaking easily. I just can't stop watching him. And I you get the sense, and it happened in the Big 12 championship game, where I'm just like, is he going to rip this one? every time he touches the ball, he's the only guy on this list where I watch him and the ball's in his hand and and you think to yourself, is he going to score here? Is he going to score on this play? And sure enough, he'll do it.
Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Multiple times a game.
Well, I like Gordon. He would never steal a move. A lot of inventive moves. He's not like stealing a swirl or anything. Look, you can't say putty. You just can't say putty.
You know what I meant.
I know what you know meant. What I meant. I know what you meant. But you know what I mean. Regardless, look, Gordon, I am putting Gordon at two because I think it's going to be, I don't know, 1,515. That's great. That's what two gets you. That's really good. He went ballistic. Was it October or November he went ballistic? It was late, kind of late in the season.
It was October.
October he went ballistic. And he just on a run at a tear was like Ollie Gordon every 30 minutes there was a big tweet in all caps. Hard to replicate that, but if you can give me close to it, you're the number two. You're number two for a reason. Vision's good. Strong as hell. Sneaky burst. And then he's got a bit of that. You know, when Derrick Henry runs, sometimes he doesn't look like he's running that fast. But, you know, when you see the NFL Advanced Next Gen Plus stats presented by Amazon Warehouse, it would be, it's tracked at like 22 miles per hour. You're like, OK, cool. Wow. He's just that big and strong that he makes running look that easy. Ollie Gordon's got a bit of that in him where, wow, he is fast. But he's so big that it's a little deceptive on the screen. It does. He's not a lot of feet hitting within 5 yards. It's here's look at this stride if I'm getting open in the field.
All right, to move on to an FCS topic for our FCS listeners, Sean, thank you for reminding me by putting this in the doc. It was announced on Saturday, I believe. It was Friday or Saturday that the FCS National Championship game is getting moved to a Monday night, January 6th. Oh my God, I just realized.
Yeah.
Regardless of the exact date, and any connection to any historical events that may or may not have happened recently and have been a point of contention in our country. It's being moved to a Monday. That's the key part. That's the key part. I'm just a little disappointed that we're still not getting this on a Saturday. We watched throughout the FCS playoffs last year that college football fans and football fans that just were looking for ball to watch. And the same thing also happened when the season was happening during the spring. People were just tuning in because it was fun. It was different. The play style was exciting. It was unique. People were getting exposed. And I think that it was growing the audience a little bit. Not to the point where people are suddenly going to become Montana fans or South Dakota State fans, but to the point where people are invested in the winner. But the minute that this game was played on a Sunday during the NFL slate, messed everything up. You weren't going to get to see or have any association with the game if you didn't care. If there wasn't anything to compete with it. I think it should have stayed on Saturday and been a Saturday night game. But Monday does feel pretty good to me. I hope that there is not like a huge Monday night football game on during this weekend. I forget what the timeline is and if they typically do that or not.
Here's how they should set it up, Kosh. Is there going to be a Monday night No. I think the first round of the NFL playoffs starts in the teens of January. I'm hoping it does. If they're competing with a Monday night playoff game, that's gonna be really hard. What they should do, if they are competing with a Monday night football game, they should start this game at like 6 or 7, 6:30, 7 o'clock. So you can get a good for the cat. This is for the casuals.
This was last year. Okay, so last year's week 17, last Monday night game was week 17. And I don't think week 18 had a Monday night game. So this means
it may not.
Not be any competition.
Fantastic. Yeah, because I was going to say for the casual fan, you're best starting it off early. Maybe you get an hour and a half of you, and then time it up so the last half of the fourth quarter is happening during the halftime of the Monday Night Football game. That's how they should have structured it. If they're not competing with anybody in week 18, perfect. Put it on that Monday night. Let's get some Monday Night Football. This good decision. Happy with it. You know, there's some minor details with the announcement rollout that maybe didn't need to be on the graphic, but it's good to see that they are at least.
What are you referencing?
No, it don't matter. It's good that they're at least trying to make some changes for the positive, because you're gonna do terribly in ratings anyways if you're competing with the NFL. You're gonna do terrible if you're competing with FBS high stakes bowl game action. Get us right here. This is the pocket. Give us this pocket. If you couldn't do it now, do it the week of the Pro Bowl. That's when you should do it. Right now, this is good. I think it's a good step
forward. Well, the week of the Pro Bowl, they'd be sitting on their hands for a really long, really long time. Fresh. Yeah, we're going to play the national championship.
February 5th. That's, yeah.
That might be one of the worst FCS takes that you've had, and you've said some dumb shit.
Made a good one. I would have rather had them play it on February 5th compared to the Saturday or Sunday.
True. But to just kind of... I hate the FCS fans who almost gatekeep it, and we've said this before. I don't like the gatekeeping. If you really want to gatekeep it and say, like, you know, tough shit, blah, 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 don't take it off TV then. You know, go read the newspaper after the game if you can't catch it. Go to the game if it's really that near and dear to you and you want to gatekeep it that bad, freaking do that. The success of the FCS isn't really contingent on growing the fan bases. That's not going to happen because... it is a college sport. People have association based on region, based on being an alumni or whatnot. But it is exciting. And I think that what we see with the college football playoff is increasing just the general exposure and investment by individuals. I mean, it's happening kind of right now with the UFL. People are just tuning into the UFL because it's fun. It's different. It is football. People are hitting each other. Spring game, same thing. People are just watching because people are hitting each other. It's football. I'm just glad that we're not building all this momentum and then blowing our load by putting it on a completely different, you know, on a day that it has to compete with the NFL slate.
Football fans just don't, God, I'm pulling a Joe. Football fans just don't want to be embarrassed by the product that their team is putting out. And then if it's not their team, they have a good team, then they don't want the product that the league is putting out to be embarrassing. The FCS should be doing everything in their power to keep on putting themselves in good time slots, work with social. They should hire the Big Sky social media manager to just run all of FCS football social. Do that, because you know who likes the Big Sky? Big Sky fans. You know who likes the CAA? Nobody. The CAA has no fans. There's no, hey, I'm a fan of the CAA conference. It's tough to be one. There's a lot of rotating doors, a lot of, you know, it's tough out here on the East Coast. But keep on trying to take measures to put in a place to put in measures in place that make your brand look good. Just make the optics good. Make the message clear. Remind everyone that it's just football and have it be on with your day. You will grow fans. Football, you can always grow with. Just keep playing football. That's all they need to do. Put it in a good time slot. This is better for them.
All right. Last thing I want to get to is something that you messaged me earlier. I want to talk about this golf club thing. So Sean sent me earlier Steve Campy on Twitter, who's actually a Notre Dame fan. He hosts the Four Horsemen Pod, which is a Notre Dame podcast.
Is that a reference to Notre Dame, the Four Horsemen?
Oh, Christ. Are you serious? Oh, I.
What?
Die.
I didn't go there.
Die. It's one of the most historic backfields in the history of college football. He posted on Twitter that his wife made a big mistake giving him access to the baby registry. And the picture depicts. Now, there's a couple updates on this, too, which is great. The picture shows the baby registry, which you can very clearly see what was added by his wife. And then you see the added by Steven on the one thing that definitely didn't belong on here.
So, that's a nice touch.
You know, we've got the soft baby toy. We've got the first year baby shower. We've got the baby lotus baby bath, the baby muslin swaddle blankets. And then at the top, you've got the TaylorMade QI10 Max Fairway Wood custom project SK shafts. But if you scroll down, this is the best part. He says, you know, he says, holy shit, it worked. He put the link. Someone bought him the fairway wood.
Good. Good
That's
for
the
Steve.
Best part about this. All right, this guy, this rocks.
Hey, Steve, thank you for setting the precedent, all right? Because, you know, if me and Joe ever have any, whatever, just dudes in general, all right? The baby's getting a ton of stuff. You're probably going to use half of it. Your folks or family's going to give you a bunch of hand-me-downs also. You're going to be stocked. You're going to have baby stuff to the brim in your house. You know what you need and no one's thinking about? Hey, how's Steve's golf game? You think he was struggling with he could get to the fairway, but his approach shot that was weak. He's got this old cruddy wood. Yeah. Let's get him something good. You should be putting, I think, for wedding registry and baby registry, dudes should be able to allowed, socially accepted. You should be able to put a golf club that you want, just one, not a set, but you should be able to put a club that, you know, no more than like $500. Put that club on there and then you should be expected to get it. This shouldn't be, oh, this is a funny gag. No, I'll get it myself. You should get the club. That's how it works. Everything else going to the baby. Everything else going to the mom. It's good. And I know babies are great. Moms are fantastic. All in on that. But for the fellas, just one golf club. That's all you need. And then, you know what? That fixes all the drama, Joe. How happier would you be knowing that you were going to go through bridal shower nonsense, planning the wedding, doing all the baby stuff, if you knew you had a new club coming to you at the end of it? Outside of it, you're more passionate, you're more engaged, you're with the process.
We're taking this a little too far. We're taking that you don't take it far enough.
I don't think
this definitely doesn't improve parenting skills or investment in the process.
How's your mood after you get a new golf club? Better or worse?
I haven't got a new golf club in 10 years?
Maybe you should. That's why you're so miserable.
Yeah, I need new clubs. My clubs are dog shit. Now, I agree with you, man. I think that you should be allowed to put one club on a registry. I think that it should become socially acceptable. Golf popularity is going up. I think that it is fully socially acceptable. If it is important for your happiness and your mood, I think that it belongs on there. Go ahead.
Other dudes aren't trying to buy other dudes baby slippers or you know, baby's first bathrobe. All right. Get your buddy a golf club if his baby registry is up. All right. That's what you need to do. And then you could just talk about that club the whole time. You don't have to talk about, oh, hey, you think your kid's going to like that, you know, that new hat I got her? I don't know. She's 2 months old. It's not going to matter. Hey, you liking that club? Yeah, I'm loving it. It's great. Went back out, three strokes down off the game. Perfect.
That would
a better time.
There's a couple of things though that I'm thinking about here. One, his wife's got to be pissed. Like his wife has to be like, is definitely pissed at this, because not only did he put it on there, but somebody went and bought it for him. Yeah. He put the registry. I wonder what happens if we click on the registry.
Let me see if I.
So he put. I'm clicking on it.
You know what? If this is still open. And most, he puts like a sandwich on there.
Most things have not been purchased. It looks like most things have not been bought. They put a $1,000 chair, swivel glider chair on there.
This is the racket that that's the baby industry bullshit. Is. I know it is. I know it is because I've had friends that have been on the registry, and I've been the dude that's bought hats before because I can't afford these crazy baby accessories. All right? But if I could have bought my buddy a golf club, yeah, I'm doing good. $299 for a high chair?
Oh, it doesn't... Wait. Okay,
Joe,
wait.
Joe, you want me to get you one of these?
You go to purchased. I don't see the three wood.
Bobby preferred shopping cart cover. Who needs a shopping cart cover?
Yeah. By the way, this is all way too much. This is all way too much shit. You don't need this much stuff. Look, the main takeaway here, or actually not the main takeaway, but like what's sticking out to me. Could you imagine? You know, you're at the baby shower. And you're opening all the gifts.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how this process works, if anyone can't tell. You're opening the shit. There's just this huge, long box.
Just see a rat. Oh, no. Just a rat driver. That's what you see with the head in wrapping paper, a little bow on it.
I just know not only your wife, but all of your wife's friends. That would piss off the mother-in-law. Like, I know that is such a recipe for disaster. I'm a little disappointed because I'm not seeing the goddamn three wood on here. What am I missing?
Here's the thing. I think it would take. How would that work? Could you wrap yourself a golf club for a baby shower? You wouldn't even need it bought for you. But just to pick your mood up, maybe you just wrap it and then you get to open it up with everybody else. That'd be thrilling. Maybe just a pack of balls. You know, you don't need to get Pro Vs. You don't need to spend 60 on them. But hey, can I just get some Bridgestones? That'd be nice.
We're going to close out of here. But I love the fact that a couple of people are like, that baby's going to love that club. A couple other people are giving recommendations on some other clubs. That need to be invested in.
Hey, look, if you have a second kid, you should check out these pings. All right. They're real hot right now. And in a year, their price is going to be halved. Maybe we can work something out.
This guy's a coward, though. If he took it off, though, I'm disappointed if he took it.
Would you take it off?
Well, it doesn't. He claims it was purchased. I don't see it on there.
Maybe it goes off after it's purchased. I don't know. There's a section
that says purchased. This is a controversy.
You think that lady came up to him and said, hey, you take that off and you refund that money. You're not letting someone buy you a golf club online.
I'm getting a divorce if that happens.
How could you do that? Hey, I'm doing a podcast.
That means you don't want to see me happy. That's what it means.
Like, hey, you and me, we got this beautiful family going. I'm doing a podcast about this bad football team. It's doing okay. We're getting some run.
All right, now
someone wants to get me. I do a joke online. Now someone wants to buy me a great golf club. I can't do it. What is that? Why couldn't you? What settle down about what? What did I do?
You know what you're doing. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Hack City Pod. Hit the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in. Drop a comment. Let us know what you think of our rankings. What golf club would you get for your buddies, or do you want in during your baby registry? We'll be back later on this week. Talk to you later.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.